Welcome to the Origene podcast. I'm Jamie, and today we're diving into some fascinating research on a tumor suppressor complex called RelGAP.
And I'm Alex. We've got an incredible paper to discuss today published in Nature Communications. It's all about the structure and mechanism of the RelGAP tumor suppressor complex, which honestly sounds complex but has huge implications for cancer research.
Absolutely. This study comes from a team led by René Roche and Bjorn Udo Klink, along with several other researchers. What makes this work so important is that RelGAP complexes are negative regulators of RAL GTPases, which means they help counteract oncogenic RAS signaling.
Right. And for those who might not be familiar, RAS signaling is a big deal in cancer biology. But before this study, we actually had very little structural information about how the RelGAP complex is built and how it functions as a tumor suppressor.
That's exactly what makes this paper so exciting. The researchers used cryo-electron microscopy to reveal the structure of RelGAP, and what they found is pretty remarkable. It has this extended architecture spanning about 58 nanometers, comprising two heterodimers of the RelGAP alpha and RelGAP beta subunits.
Wait, so it's like two pairs of different proteins that come together to form this really long structure? That's fascinating. And from what I understand, they discovered why RelGAP complexes are always heterodimers. The catalytic domain of RelGAP alpha actually needs stabilization by a unique domain of RelGAP beta.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. They found that forming these RelGAP tetramers isn't required for activity in vitro, but it's absolutely essential for the complex to function properly in vivo.
That's such an important distinction. So it works in a test tube as a smaller unit, but in actual living cells, it needs that full tetrameric structure to do its job properly.
Right. And they also looked at RelGAP subunit variants that have been reported in cancer patients. Their structural analysis suggests these variants likely affect complex formation, which emphasizes why this structural information is so significant for medical research.
So let's back up a bit to make sure our listeners understand the bigger picture. RAL-GTPases, RAL-A, and RAL-B act as molecular switches that regulate various cellular processes like vesicular trafficking, cell survival, and proliferation.
And importantly, the RAL signaling pathway has long been recognized for its crucial function downstream of RAS GTPases, which are major players in cancer development. RALs have been shown to support RAS-dependent tumorigenesis, but they've also been implicated in cancer progression independent of RAS.
Exactly. So these RelGAP complexes, RelGAP1 and RelGAP2, act as GAPs, or GTPase-activating proteins, that limit RAL-GTP levels by promoting hydrolytic activity. Basically, they help turn off the RAL switch.
And what's really interesting is that these complexes are made up of one catalytic alpha subunit, either RelGAP alpha-1 in the RelGAP1 complex or RelGAP alpha-2 in the RelGAP2 complex, and a common regulatory beta subunit.
I love how the researchers approach this. They established expression of the RG-alpha-2-RG-beta-kappa-B-RAS-2 complex in cells and purified it for cryo-EM studies. What they saw was pretty amazing. These incredibly long particles that looked like mustaches?
Yes, they literally described them as mustache-shaped. And these structures were about 58 nanometers long. That's huge for a protein complex.
The imaging revealed that both RG-alpha-2 and RG-beta have similar architectures, with an N-terminal alpha-solenoid heat repeat-like domain, followed by what they call a stabilization and dimerization domain, and then a gap domain.
And what's really cool is how they found these SD domains are the central organizing module of the RelGAP complex. They mediate heterodimerization of RG-alpha-2 and RG-beta in this tail-to-tail fashion, resulting in an arch-like shape of the RelGAP heterodimer.
But here's where it gets even more interesting. Between certain parts of both SD domains, there are these large loop regions that they named hug domains because they literally reach over from RG-alpha-2 to RG-beta and vice versa, linking the subunits together.
I love that name. And these hug domains account for about one-third of the heterodimer interface. That's a significant portion.
Absolutely. Now, what really surprised me was their finding about why RG beta is essential for gap activity. The researchers found that while RG beta is crucial for activity both in cells and in vitro, it doesn't actually interact with RG alpha 2 at the active site.
Right. Instead, the RG beta hug domain makes extensive contacts with RG alpha 2, particularly this long hug helix that runs alongside the heat and gap domains and holds them together. So RG beta is acting more like a scaffold that stabilizes the gap domain.
And they confirmed this with some really elegant experiments. When they deleted the hug domain in RG beta, it almost completely lost its ability to associate with RG alpha 2, showing that this domain is essential for complex assembly.
They also found that the RG beta hug domain alone was sufficient to form a complex with RG alpha 2. And in functional validation experiments, they showed that without the RG beta hug domain, there was no RAL gap activity in cells.
Another really surprising finding was about the tetramerization of RAL gap. The structure revealed that RG beta mediates the interaction of two RG alpha, two RG beta heterodimers, leading to the formation of that tetrameric mustache-shaped complex we mentioned earlier.
And when they introduced mutations to disrupt this tetramerization, they found something fascinating. The mutations didn't affect catalytic activity in vitro, but they completely prevented the complex from functioning in cells. This suggests that the tetrameric assembly is required for proper physiological function.
That's such an important distinction. It really highlights how protein complexes can have different requirements in a test tube versus in the complex environment of a living cell.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the medical implications. The researchers analyzed RAL gap variants identified in cancer patients and found that many of them are likely to negatively affect complex function based on their structural assessment.
Right. And what's interesting is that these variants are spread throughout the entire lengths of all three RALGAP genes without obvious mutation clusters. But when they mapped them onto the structure, they found that many of them affect critical interfaces like the beta hug binding to RG alpha 2 and the RG beta N-terminal homodimerization.
This is why structural studies like this are so important. They provide the framework for understanding how mutations might impact protein function, which can ultimately help us understand disease mechanisms.
Exactly. And it's worth noting that loss or reduction of RAL gap subunit expression has already been shown to promote tumorigenesis in human cancer cell lines and mouse models, and has been described in a subset of pancreatic cancer patients.
What I find particularly interesting is that they also mentioned a rare genetic disease caused by biallelic inactivation of RAL gapa 1, which leads to impaired neurodevelopment and other symptoms. So RAL gap has medical relevance beyond cancer as well.
That's a great point. So to wrap up, this study provides both a structural and biochemical characterization of the RAL gap complex, creating a solid framework for understanding how it functions. The researchers showed that RAL gap assembles into this remarkable dimer of heterodimers, forming that extended 58 nanometer structure.
And they demonstrated that this complex architecture is essential for functionality, and explained why RG alpha 2 requires RG beta binding to maintain an active conformation. Based on this detailed structural framework, they were able to analyze RAL gap patient variants and suggest possible roles in pathological processes like tumorigenesis.
Overall, I think this paper makes a significant contribution to our understanding of tumor suppressor complexes and provides valuable insights that could eventually lead to new therapeutic approaches for cancer.
Absolutely. And that wraps up our discussion of this fascinating paper on the RAL gap tumor suppressor complex. Thanks for joining us on the Origine podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe for more discussions of cutting-edge research in molecular biology and cancer research. See you next time.